Looking to jumpstart your career? Start with the city of Norfolk, Virginia. You'll earn competitive pay, outstanding benefits, and a $5,000 sign-on bonus. Start your new career today at norfolk.gov/coastalvajobs. Restrictions apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of May, 2022. And our producer tonight is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
There you go. And here, a partner live right here in the studio. And she's a hoot and a holler and worth a dime and a dollar. None other than Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. She's been waiting all week to say that. She's got her. You got your articles tonight, don't you?
Yes.
All righty. And you're not going to let Randy use up your time, are you?
No.
Okay. they say, hey, we have Randolph Gay.
Hey, be blessed, no stress, everybody.
All righty, very good. You better turn his mic higher, yeah. Try it again.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
Okay, there you go. Well, we're going to start off on our scripture tonight, and who can remember what the title it was? It was, You Rich Men, Hypocrites, Weep and Howl, right? And we start out in James chapter 5. But tonight we're going to pick it up over in Ezekiel chapter 28. And we see two examples here of very powerful but very corrupt people. And as we start here in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 1, we're taking a look at, we're going to be talking about how the king of Tyre is going to be condemned here. Now, in this, there's some passages of Scripture, some verses that have been taken out of context. And so whenever you take a verse out of context, you end up with, a pretext, right?
That's exactly
yes.
Right.
And so we're going to take a look at and see if we can set some of this straight. Because it's spelled right out in front of us, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so Randy, why don't you start with verse 1.
Okay.
And read it all the way through. Through verse 10, and then stop there.
We'll okay, gotcha. Yeah. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou setst thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that thou canst hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and gotten gold and silver into thy treasury. But the great wisdom and by the traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thine riches. Therefore thou sayest, saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nation, and they shall draw thy swords, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the point, to the pit, and thou shalt die, the death of them that art slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God, but thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee? Thou shalt die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of the strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God.
Alrighty, here now. So we're looking at here, the word of the Lord came again, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Now the prince of Tyrus was Ethabel the third, and he is said to be Jezebel's nephew, said to be Jezebel's nephew. And so here, why do you think he thought so much of himself? Why do you think that he thought himself to be a god?
Well, because everything he was doing was working.
Well, yeah, there was something a little more to it than that. His kingdom set up on top of a mountain, and that mountain underneath was the waterways, which is shipping lanes. And in order to go through there, you had to pay tribute to him.
To him, yes.
And if you didn't want to, well, he would just drop a great big rock down on top of you, okay? But one of his things that he was involved with was human trafficking, like the Democrats are today, okay? And so here now, he has said to himself, I'm a god. Look at me. I can do whatever I want. People depend upon me, and they have to do whatever I want. Now, so God is chiding him now. He's chiding him. And he's saying, look at you. Look how wise you are. Why, you're wiser than Daniel. So Daniel was, what, a contemporary of the time. And here, Daniel, when Daniel was asked over in Daniel 2:20 and 23, he was asked, where do you get such great wisdom, Daniel, from the king? Daniel said, it comes from God. He said, I didn't, you know. So, but now Ethabel the third, he's saying, no, he's doing all this on his own. He don't need God, right?
That's right.
Sounds like Jerry Nadler. Remember Jerry Nadler says, God doesn't have a voice in Congress?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, is Jerry Nadler in for a rude awakening. Because you know what God's word, the Bible says? It says, Sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. Jerry Nadler, Sodomites will have their place in the lake of fire. That's what God's word, the Bible says. And preachers are to preach against sin, okay? And they're to warn these people, like Jerry Nadler, to repent. Because if you don't repent, you perish. Well, how do we know that? Well, we take a look at Ethabel here. Now, Ethabel, he decided he wasn't going to. He was a god. He didn't need anybody, right? So God says, so you're a god, are you? Well, I want you to tell that to the men that I send to kill you.
Kill you.
Now, there just so happened to be a fellow named Nebuchadnezzar at that time, and he captured Tyre with his Babylonian army, and he sent his men up there to inform Ethabel that he wasn't any god. And so they went up there and they told him, you're no god, and they killed him. And so there's a lesson to be learned there, isn't there?
Yeah,
yes.
There's a great lesson to be learned there. Your silver and your gold won't save your life.
Okay, so if God tells you this is going to happen, is it going to happen?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Now we pick it up in verse 11. Read verse 11 down through, all the way down through 19.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, and thou hast sealed up the sum in thy wisdom and perfect in thy beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mount of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou hast been created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, do you want me to go on to 19?
All the way through 19.
Okay. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by thy iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people will be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore.
So now you have here the source of Ethabal's pride again, and you have this whole source there. There's his sin was pride, and who was it that first said, "I will be as the Most High"?
The devil
Satan.
Himself.
That was right, yes. Satan over there. Well, he actually was Lucifer when he said it, and then he became Satan. He was thrown, cast out. Now, here, we see, and a lot of people don't understand, this is when it talks about thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. This was a part of his makeup. This was, you know, not a jacket he puts on. This was what he looked like. And so you had all of these precious stones. He was the most beautiful creature God had ever created. The most beautiful creature God had. This is why he was so attractive to Eve in the garden. You had... what would attract the second most beautiful creature other than the first?
First, yeah.
And so here, because you always get these pictures of this serpent wrapped around a tree. No, he walked upon 2 feet.
Right.
And it wasn't until later, after he had sinned, where God had put him, turned into serpent. Now, here, he was found... within him, an iniquity. And that iniquity was he had decided that he was going to be like God. He was going to set in God's place. And so here, when he says, "Thou was perfect in all thy ways from the day thou was created until iniquity was found in thee, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence and has sinned. Therefore I will cast as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou was corrupted by thy wisdom, by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they shall behold thee." Now, here, he was powerful. And his wisdom, was corrupted at the point where he thought that he could be like God. Now, there's a lot of teachings today out there, there always has been, that are false teachings. And in other words, there's nothing according to God's word that we use because we know it's God's truth, right?
That's right.
But one of the teachings would have been for years is that instead of God creating the universe created God. After billions and billions of years, the universe created God, and God, after billions of years, became omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And then years and years pass, and then the universe creates Satan. Well, by the time Satan comes along, God is all-powerful. I mean, he's got it all. Right? He's creating everything. And then... when Satan comes along, according to, and this is a false teaching, I want everyone to understand, that God tells Satan that I created you, you're my creation. But then Satan finds out later that the universe creates him, see? This is where you get a lot of these false stories, some of these false teachings that Christ and Satan were brothers.
Sure.
Okay. And no, they weren't brothers. Satan was a created being. Christ was the creator.
Yes, part
and,
of God.
Yes. And so the Bible says his existence was eternal. Now, in this next verse, they build an entire doctrine of annihilation on this verse. But this entire, on this one verse, but this verse is, it says exactly what it means. It doesn't say what they're thinking or what they're saying. No. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth. In the sight of all of them, behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, here, what do you think that means?
It doesn't mean annihilation. In other words, you won't be the terror. You won't be this exalted thing, if you will.
You're not going to be what you are now.
What you are now.
You're not going to have the power.
Yeah.
Okay, now, when he says, I'm going to bring a fire from within, you're not going to exist in the same form, are you?
That's right.
No.
And here, so they're teaching that God is so merciful that he would not send anyone to hell for eternity, and that we simply are burnt up like the fat of a lamb, and we turn to smoke.
And consumed.
Now, there's a problem with that. And if you turn over to Revelation 20, in Revelation chapter 20, and you start with verse 7 and read all the way through 10.
7 to 10, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosened out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom as is the sand of the sea. And they went out on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of the heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Okay, so here now, Gog and Magog, they're not the same ones of Ezekiel 38, 36, 38. These are simply symbols of forces of evil who band together to battle God. In fact, Noah's son, Japheth, had a son named Magog. And here, so that 1,000 years is the millennial kingdom. And during that millennial kingdom, we will be ruling with the Lord in glorified bodies here on earth. Now, during that time, judgment will be instantaneously because the Lord himself would be here. So there will be a lot of people that might hold resentment, but they don't dare say anything because judgment will be instantaneously. And so those that do not sin, do not come follow the earth, the baby born on the first day will live that entire
1,000 years.
1,000 years. And so here now, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is loosed again. And because of all of these people, they still had their sin nature in them because they resented not just God, but they're going to be resenting us big time too.
Sure.
Because we're going to be the ruling during that time. And so here, in this case, when they went out to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, all of these people that were held resentment in the beloved city, and it came down from God fire, okay, out of heaven and devoured them. Now, this is different than in Revelation 19, because here God destroys them, but in Revelation 19, God comes back, and as we get back to the Mount of Olives in Israel there, and the armies which were with him have followed him upon white horses, clothed of fine linen, white and clean. Now, what does an army do?
Go to war, conquer, defend. If
armies do, they do battle.
Yeah, so, they do battle. What?
So he's bringing back his army with him, and we right there at the time when all of the armies of the world are going into Jerusalem, and as they come out, they run smack-a-dab into the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's there. He has split the Mount of Olives to the north and to the south, and he's there with his army, four categories of saints. The angels were the first category, the Old Testament, New Testament, and tribulation. And so those saints are there, that army, to do battle with the armies of the world. And so that's different than here. And here we just see that the Lord himself destroys all of these people by himself. But that's the end of the millennial kingdom. This comes 1,000 years later. So there you go.
All right.
So what that meant is it means here that Satan does not go out of existence. People, we don't go out of existence. We just change real estate. We change, but we don't go out of existence.
Well, it's like everybody lives forever, really. We either in heaven or in hell.
No, not everybody lives. Those that are saved live. Those that are not have a continual process of dying. Death is separation from God, death and hell.
Okay, yeah.
It's a continual process of dying. And so if we turn over to Revelation 21, I just read verses 1 through 8.
1 through 8 and 21. All right. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God and of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You said to verse 8?
Yep.
Okay. "And he sat upon the throne, said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death."
Okay, so now here the good news is there'll be no more pain for us when we get to heaven.
Yes.
And no more pain. Boy, I'll be glad about that because I've had a lot of it lately. Okay. And no more death. No more sickness. We won't have to listen to any more liberal lying media because all those liars will have their place in Lake of Fire.
Yes.
Okay. And so, anyhow, not only that, no taxes. You won't have to worry about high gas prices. We won't need cars, right? And we'll be able to fly. We'll be able to fly away.
Yes.
Now think about that. All of those things, wonderful things. There'll be no more death, okay?
Yes.
No, with what we've been seeing with the little children, there'll be no more abortion. None of what we have here today. And I believe that all the signs are there that the Lord, you know, that this earth is deteriorating at a rapid rate and that he could come back anytime. I mean, anytime. Well, with that, we're going to go to the break. Before we do, I just want to say this will be the third day in a row that I played this song, and for a very good reason, because it all has to do with where we're going to start tonight. So go ahead and take it away, Greg.
World Force seized this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order where brutality will go unrewarded.
J. just in case you don't remember. Let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco Compound, back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children. Don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children. How could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. Can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children. Stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved. Yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stopped my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to ourselves? Have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? Open up your mind.
Well, for the last 2 days, we've had continuous 24-hour coverage. Now, I I hate that when that happens, and I'll tell you why. Because you have a lot of people out there who they're loners. They've got mental issues. They've got emotional issues, like Salvador Ramos. And they're angry. They're angry at the world. They feel that they have not had not been treated fair. And in many cases, that's true. They haven't been treated fair. You know, and I've known, being in a prison ministry for, well, now it's going on almost 50 years now. I've run into some horrible, horrible stories and of people that have had such bad upbringings. But here, what happens is when you take people like Salvador Ramos and you let them know very clearly that, you know, if you go out and do something, if you go out and you know, shoot up a school and kill a bunch of kids, the whole world's going to know who you are. We will give you your 20 minutes of fame. Everybody in the world, and they're going to be sorry for the way they treated you. They're going to be sorry, and you'll let them know that you got your revenge. That's the message these people get, and that's what happens when you have this continuous 24-hour coverage of something like this. You know, years ago you didn't have this.
But the other thing that it does is that it desensitizes the people who hear it again and again and again and again. It's like, remember the Twin Towers? I mean, when they showed you that in the middle of the coverage that people were jumping off the tower. I mean, the first time you saw it, you thought, oh, my goodness, they're jumping. But after you see it 50 times, it doesn't have that impact. Mm-hmm. It desensitizes you. And there's something not right about that, you know, and I'm not, you know, I mean, I understand that they want to get it, but it's something about seeing something gruesome like that 50 times where it loses its, I guess if you want to call it, shock value. And we need to be shocked about these things.
There's a term for it. It's called psyches. It's a disintegration.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to hit on that in a few minutes here.
Okay.
Now, you've got an account, and I've got an account of this, and I'm going to go ahead and read my account because there's something very wrong with what happens. There's something very wrong when you let a shooter in a school, and the parents out there are yelling, get in there and do something, and the police are standing down. When you have federal marshals that are out there, and by the way, what were the federal marshals doing there? Why were they there so early? And when you had federal marshals slamming parents to the ground, keeping them from going in and saving their children. We had one woman apparently got in, got her daughter, and got out, okay? But there's something very, very wrong.
Wrong about that, too.
So I'll go ahead and read this account, and you go ahead and read your account, and then we'll take a look at another.
Okay.
Regional Director for the Department of Public Safety, South Texas, Victor. By the way, I called the Uvalde. What is it?
Uvalde.
Uvalde. Uvalde County Sheriff's Department and Police Department. The same number goes through both.
Yeah.
And they, because I wanted some commentary, I'd like to. And they told me they had at that time they had no one there to comment on. Okay. But anyhow, we'll see if it's possible we can get them. It don't look like we're going to because they've had these, taking them out there, making heroes out of all these cops out there. And it's isn't it something here that the Deathocrats hate uniformed police officers, but they love federal agents. What's going on here? Okay, right?
Right.
But anyhow, Regional Director for the Department of Public Safety, South Texas, Victor Escalon provided an update on Thursday following the mass shootings at Robb Elementary that killed 19 children and two adults. 18-year-old Salvador Ramos opened fire at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, on Tuesday, killing 19 children and two teachers. He also shot his grandmother in the face. Senator Roland Gutierrez said that the grandmother is still alive but in critical condition. According to multiple reports, the dangerous shooter spent more than 40 minutes inside as loved ones and onlookers begged, and they begged police to charge into the building. On Thursday, Officer Escalon of the Texas DPS South Region provided an update on their investigation regarding the mass shootings. On Tuesday, May 24th, 11:28, the suspect wrecked his vehicle, the pickup truck, and he took from his grandmother. He had just shot his grandmother in the face. She's alive. She's stable at this point, Escalon said. He jumps out the passenger side of the truck. According to witnesses, he's got a long-arm rifle in a bag. He walks around to see two witnesses at the funeral home across the street from where he rents. He engages and fires towards them. He continues walking towards the school. He climbs the fence, and now he's in the parking lot shooting at the school multiple times at 11:40. He walks into, now listen, he starts at 11:28, now it's 11:40. Remember they said the police got there in 4 minutes? He's right out there.
That's 12 there. Time spread there is 12.
At 11:40, he walks into the west side of Robin Elementary. Multiple rounds, numerous rounds are discharged in the school where trying to get a number. 4 minutes later, police departments, local police departments, the Independent School District Police Departments are inside making entry. They hear gunfire. They take rounds. They move back, get covered. And during that time, they approached where the suspect is at. According to the information I have, he went in at 11:40. Officers are there. The initial officers, they're receiving gunfire. They don't make entry initially because of the gunfire they're receiving. We have officers calling for additional resources. Everyone that is in the area, tactical teams, we need equipment. We need special equipment. We need body armor. We need precision riflemen, negotiators, Escalon continues. So during that time, they're making those calls to bring in help to solve this problem and stop it immediately. They're also evacuating personnel. Personnel, students, teachers. There's a lot going on, a lot complex situation. They're measuring, Escalon explained. He said the U.S. Border Patrol tactical teams arrived on the scene approximately an hour later. The team made an entry and shot and killed this suspect. Approximately an hour later, U.S. Border Patrol tactical teams arrive. They make entry and shoot and they kill the suspect, but you also had a Zavala County deputy who bought a police department that made entry. Deputy, and you bought a police department and made entry and killed the suspect. Now it turns into a rescue operation. How do we save these children? Escalon added that based on the information they gathered, the majority of the gunfire was in the beginning, approximately more than 25 minutes. I'm going to stop there because the article is lengthy. Now, there's something very wrong with what we just read here.
Sure.
All of that's time. You go ahead.
Sure. Okay. Now, man says reports have emerged to suggest that police officers and Uvalde detectives, where 18-year-old Salvador Ramos is said to have shot up in an elementary school, stood around outside and did nothing to try to stop him, while parents and witnesses urged the officers to go inside and take action. One woman could be heard shouting and screaming, "Go in there, go in there," while the officers stood stationary outside Robb Elementary School, allowing the tragedy to take place without any attempt and intervention, according to the Associated Press. The gunman who reportedly lived with his drug-addicted mother and had numerous encounters with the police, barricaded himself in the classroom for 40 minutes, and we are told murdering 19 students and two teachers. One father has said that he lost a daughter in the carnage out, said, "Let's rush in there because the cops aren't doing anything like they're supposed to," Javier Cazares said. "More could have been done here." Cazares lost his daughter, Jacqueline, who reportedly was one of the victims who was killed inside the school. "They were unprepared," Cazares said. Now, it said, "It wasn't until 40 minutes to an hour after the shooting began that a tactical team shot and killed him on the scene," reports the Post Millennial. The bottom line is that law enforcement was there, he says. They did engage immediately. They did contain Ramirez in the classroom. The problem is the classroom was full of children and the teacher. And I kind of want to stop there because the rest of it is just talking about how he crashed his car, and you covered that in your article.
I'm going to play this, but I can't play real clear because there's a lot of cussing and screaming taking place. Yeah. So I'm just going to play away from the mic where you can hear some. And it's a film. I'm watching a film. And in the field, you can see what is taking place. You have federal marshals that are holding people down, slamming people to the ground, and where the parents are trying to run into the school and save their children. And here, I don't know if I want to make sure that. Well, let me just read this. Okay, I'm trying to. Let me try it this way. Try to get it on. I'll pass that one up and go to the next one. But I'm watching what you have here is you have the coverage. Here, Uvalde mother placed in handcuffs by federal marshals for attempting to enter the school to save her child while Salvador Ramos was on a killing spree. This woman runs in. One woman got in and got her daughter and got out. But the police stood out there. When you have a situation like this, when you got an active shooter, you go in.
You have to.
You go in. If you're one guy and there's 20 active shooters, you still go in, okay?
Well, but there was a witness by the name of Juan Carranza who said that when he ran into the school with his AR-15, Carranza says there were more of them, referring to law enforcement, and just one of him.
Right.
And that's his whole point, is that they should have done something.
Well, yeah, we know they should have done something, but what is this? What is happening here? We've seen this happen before. They stood down.
Stood down, absolutely.
Okay. So what happened immediately after all of this? Okay, first of all, this Ramos sounds to me a whole lot like a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
And immediately afterwards, the question that people have here that are answering is, well, let me take this. Here's another article I'm going to do real quick. Witness, police stood outside the school while mass murderer Salvador Ramos went on killing spree. Armed police pinned one man to the ground, and here's a video of them doing that. This man was trying to get in to save his children. Okay, so here, this is basically what Escalon said. He was trying to, and they're making heroes all the day long. You had the governor, Craig Abbott, and all out there making heroes out of all these police. But again, first of all, question one, what were federal marshals doing there so quickly? This is not a, you know, in a near big city where you have, this is out way out in the countryside. A viral video making rounds online shows anxious, angry parents pleading to the police to go inside the school while mass murderer Salvador Ramos spent more than 40 minutes inside. On Tuesday, Governor Greg Abbott announced that 19 students and two teachers were killed in a mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. 18-year-old Salvador Ramos opened fire. We went all of this here, but here. Then we get down to Javier Cazares, whose daughter died in the attack, urged the bystanders, let's rush him in because the cops aren't doing anything. They're just standing here. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. More could have been done. They were unprepared. The video showed armed police pinning one man to the ground as the bystanders yelled at them to go in. And let's just rush him because the cops aren't doing their job. So anyhow, his daughter was killed. So again, question number one, why were federal marshals there so quick? There's something not right about that. Two, why you had all these cops there. They just stood there. They stood down until his Border Patrol agent comes. He comes marching, goes right in and kills the guy.
But the other thing is it that's interesting to me is that he was shooting at the school. It says he did encounter a district security officer, and when two policemen did try to go after him, and when he was opening fire, they were wounded as a result. And it seems to me like after that, they all just backed off. All of them backed off after that. And that's when the 40-minute period seems like it came in. And but what's interesting to me is that all of the articles we have, they all seem to give the same in report.
When you have a live shooter, you don't set, you don't stand, you go in.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. But it's interesting that that the eyewitness reports are all the same. You know, usually there's one or two that are kind of different, but this time they're all the same.
And so, it's an interesting thing that they were living in. Now, if you're a country, and in your country, you're being invaded by aliens from other countries. They're invading your country. That's referred to as an act of war, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. That's right. That's all it takes.
Is that happening in the United States?
It's starting to happen every day.
Now, if you have a military, what is the job of the military?
To defend a nation.
Yes.
To defend a nation.
Okay, so now here I heard today Brett Baer asking General Milley, are you going to, if China attacks Taiwan, are we going to defend? Milley says, we're ready for war with any nation. We have the, you know, this and that. He's ready for war with any nation, but he is refusing to defend America.
That's right.
We're under attack. We're under attack. We're seeing terrorists of every kind being brought in here. Now, very few of us out here are telling people what's happening. We know that Joe Biden is the enemy of America. If you are an American, especially a Christian patriot, the Democratic Communist Party are your enemies. They're the worst enemies. They're worse than China. They're worse than Russia, North Korea. And here we're being invaded from within. America's falling very fast, very quickly. We're deteriorating from within. We cannot survive very much longer at this pace.
Oh, no.
And so something's got to be done. Donald Trump had just come out and made the statement that, and he was absolutely right, unless things change, I think John McTiernan is calling, unless things change, we're headed towards a bloody civil war. Now, you just had a congressman, I think you might have that article from the congressman who told Joe Biden, you try to take our guns away.
Oh, yeah, fine. The guy's name is fine. Yeah, I do have that article.
Hold and you're going to find out why.
Here it is.
We have us. Go ahead and read the article.
Sure. Florida House Representative Randy Fine tells Biden, quote, try to take our guns away and you'll learn why the Second Amendment was written. And it says Florida House Representative Randy Fine tweeted a warning to Joe Biden on Wednesday about efforts to take guns away from American citizens. Fine said the effort to do so will show Biden why the Second Amendment was written in the first place. And it says also that I have news for the embarrassment that claims to be our president. Try to take our guns away and you'll learn why the Second Amendment was written in the first place. And then in the back here says, Joe Biden needs to learn a history lesson, Fine said, refreshing attempts by the British, referring to attempts by the British to seize guns from colonists during the Revolutionary War. The colonists hid what they could, and then they fought back. The history of our nation is predicated on people being afraid of an overbearing federal government, he added. Joe Biden can go on TV and not wait 1 minute before he blames Republicans and demands our guns be seized. That's apparently, quote, peace and unity, unquote. We respond and we're riling people up, Fine said. If the President of the United States wants to politicize a tragedy, he should expect people to get angry in return. And that's the end of the article.
Well, you know, what a sleazy thing for him to do in the wake of all of those parents who just lost their children. I mean, the parents were there. It was bad enough that the police stood down and wouldn't let them in to save their own children. It was bad enough that here the governor out there has given them all, you know, praises when you only had a couple that actually did their jobs. And but then to have Sleazy Joe go up and here now, you know, they have a saying, never let a good crisis go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they decided to do. And on top of that, you had Big Toe the Dork. Big Toe the Dork is running for, he wants to run for governor. And old Big Toe the Dork, he really stuck his big toe right up, right in his mouth. He really stuck his big toe in his mouth. And boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm you know, if he's smart, he'd move out of that state. He's got so many people angry at him right now.
But I wonder how many of those parents are, if you interview them, were wishing that they had guns to bring to something like that. Because if they're not going to, what else can you do except defend your family?
You know? Well, many of them did, but they were stopped by federal marshals.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And again, here we go back to what were the federal marshals doing there to begin with?
Yeah.
This is not, now, I wanted to take a look at some of these other, here's an article I wanted to read quickly. Psychic disintegration. Prepare for society to become more violent as insanity spreads. The recent shooting of the Uvalde school in Texas was allowed to happen. Police stood down and waited outside 40 minutes to an hour while the gunman was inside murdering children and a teacher at will. This is now confirmed by the Associated Press, no less. This means that law enforcement in Uvalde, Texas, was negligent in the mass killings. They didn't do their job to protect the innocent, even if it means putting themselves in harm's way.
Well, I was going to say they certainly didn't put themselves in harm's way. They didn't.
The typical excuse that you were here while waiting for SWAT to arrive doesn't fly in an active shooter situation involving children. You go in with what you have right now. Even if it's just one armed officer, you don't wait around while the children are murdered. You don't wait around. This is useless. You actually want the mass shootings to occur because you're an advocate of gun control. So now we have to take a much closer look at the officers and departments involved in all of this, because there are a lot of pockets of Democratic, called Democrats, run gun control zealots in Texas. And this might be one of the operations they were willing to carry out on purpose to allow the shooter to murder children so they could have the right narrative to push for the abolition of the Second Amendment. And you would think, you know, I mean, we all want to think, oh, no, this country has not deteriorated that, but we can't, because it has. There's nothing too low. Nothing. There's no limit to what the wickedness of that communist, that Antichrist, Democratic Communist Party, what they will do. Nothing. There's no lie that the mainstream media won't tell. That's we are living in this. Well, you say, well, Pastor Winnie, you're negative. No. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read Romans 1. God told you. Read Matthew 24. It's everything is happening exactly the way God said it would, okay? The problem of it is they don't believe in God, and the ones that believe in God probably hate him. But we're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after this. We got a lot more to do tonight. Don't go away. More to come. So.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Amen. Let's
Buscas trabajo? Sherwin-Williams is looking for passionate bilingual professionals like you. Visit sherwin-williams.com/trabajos and search for open jobs now.